Now let's continue on. We'll have to save the Mark of the Beast for the next sermon, and we'll put both on the same DVD. All right. Comment was made that Jesus did not deny what Satan said, that it's all given to him. And it is. The last verse in 1 John says, "And the whole world is in the power of the evil one." Now, the only ones that are not are those that have been answered the call of God and have been called out. So the question becomes, concerning a church, what do you look for? Now, when you read Revelation 2 and 3, you see that 5 out of the 7 churches had infiltrations of satanic doctrine, some of them very devotedly. And it says there to the church at Thyatira, Jesus said, "And I will kill her children with death." When you think about that, that means some who have been in the church will be cast into the lake of fire, because if you kill them, they're dead, right? So that's another way of saying the second death. Now, we know the first attempt to take over the church was by Simon Magus in Acts the 8th chapter, to bring in all the paganism, and it finally was accomplished about 305 years later, when Constantine set up what became the Roman Catholic Church and brought in all the paganism. Okay? So there comes a time when there is a deception and deception and more deception and more deception, and finally you get the majority of people, and then you can bang, you can change it. See? So that's happened to the churches of God. So as you look at the churches of God today and you're wondering, well, I wonder which one I should affiliate with. All right. The first question is, how is my relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ? Because that is above and beyond and separate from an organizational affiliation. So what do you look for? Let's answer the first question. What about a church corporation? Some people have written and say, well, you shouldn't be incorporated as a church. Well, in this world, you can't do business unless you are incorporated as a church, or you have to register as a, a corporation soul would be one, but that's still a corporation where it is a voluntary association. But you still have to register. Okay? Number one, no single church organization by its corporate structure has anything to do with the spirituality of the group. A church corporation is necessary to conduct business in the world. Now, that's how we operate. That's what Christian Biblical Church is about. Just to take care of the business in the world, because we have to do things in the world in order to accomplish what we are doing. All right. That is not the church. Okay? The church is what Jesus Christ said he would build. And those are all the brethren that he would call. Because you see, where does it first start? Where does it first start with each one of us? Well, you go back, and that's why we have the Gospels, that's why we have the book of Acts, that's why we have all the epistles, because it shows us how it came from Christ to the apostles, and the apostles then to the church. But the church is a spiritual organism, not a corporate organism. See? So whenever a leader of a corporate organization says, "We are the true church of God," not so. If you do as Jesus said, you may be part of the church of God. But the Church of God consists of the collective members as God looks down and sees his church, and Christ is the head. One of the fatal errors that the churches of God have done, as we found with the one with Pergamos, is to set up a hierarchical ministerial system where, and that's taken after Satan's way, where then the ministers are above the brethren. That's not so. So if you're looking for a church to affiliate with, or you're not happy with the one you are affiliated with, then you better start looking as to what are the controls of the ministry. Do they preach the truth? Do they teach you to have a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ? Are you being fed the Word of God, or are you being fed corporate propaganda to keep you in the group so that they can use you and merchandise you? Now, there are some churches of God today who seem to be, excuse the word, hell-bent on keeping members so that they can retire on the tithes and offerings of the brethren. Now, let's see what Jesus said to the apostles, which applies to every single person who is a teacher or a minister, an elder, whatever. All right? The structure goes from the individual directly to God. The structure does not go from the individual to the ministers and the church corporation and then to God. That's the Catholic system. That is the hierarchy of Nicolaitism. Now, can you have a type of relationship with the brethren and ministers where that you don't have to have a hierarchy? Yes. If you love Christ, and if you teach the truth, and if you show the brethren what is the will of God, and we all come together on a voluntary basis the way that God wants it to be, and we love and serve one another the way that God wants it to be, and we believe the truth the way that the Bible says there is truth, and understand this. The Bible is greater than any doctrinal committee. Okay? The Bible and the Word of God alone establishes doctrine. So you've got church government and you have personal relationship. Now then you have the teachings or the church doctrines. Okay? Now let's come back and look at how Jesus said the government should be set up. Verse 17, Matthew 20. Let's go there. Matthew 20 and verse 17. This is what it has to be. And this is how the blessings, then, of truth and understanding will come. It's not going to come because someone is appointed to be a pastor or an evangelist. It will come if the pastor or evangelist or teacher or elder is serving the brethren and pointing them to God. And here's how it's done. Verse 17, Matthew 20. And while they were going up to Jerusalem, Jesus took the 12 disciples aside in the way and said to them, Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed to the chief priests and scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. They shall deliver him up to the Gentiles to mock him and to scourge him and to crucify him, but he shall rise again the third day. Christ is the one who died for the church. Christ is the one who then we are to follow. God the Father is the one who originally draws us, remember? None comes to me except the Father draw him, right? It's not a church person. It is God in the Spirit of God and the faith and belief in the truth of God by the individual that God uses to draw them through his Spirit. Now, verse 20. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons. Now understand this. James and John were of the priestly line. Now the priests did have authority. That is all changing. But she did not understand that, and so she wanted her sons to have a special position with Jesus. So she came to him with her sons, worshiping him and asking a certain thing from him. You can never turn down a woman, can you? Okay. And he said to her, "What do you desire?" She said to him, "Grant that these my two sons may sit, one at your right hand and one at your left hand in your kingdom." Now, in chapter 17, we won't turn there, but we'll refer there. Who were the ones that Jesus took up for on the Mount of Transfiguration to see the vision? Peter. So Peter had to get it right. And James and John. And what did they see alongside Jesus on the right hand and the left hand in the vision? Moses and Elijah. Now, we don't know if they are going to be on the right hand and the left hand in the kingdom, but at least it was a vision from God showing that, correct? But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" In other words, can you fulfill all the requirements of being the only begotten Son of God? They said to him, "We're able." And he said to them, "No, you're not." Verse 23. Okay, let's stop right here. Let's stop right here. Okay. Any man who claims that he is the only apostle of God today is a liar, and you need to get away from him as fast as you can be. Any man who claims a biblical office, such as Elijah or Elisha, or that prophet, he's a liar, and you need to get away from him as fast as you can and get all of that gobbledygook out of your mind. That's not from God. So he said to them, because they were so presumptuous with his mother, "You shall indeed drink my cup and shall be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit at my right hand and at my left hand is not mine to give, but shall be given to those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And after this, after hearing this, the ten were indignant against the two brothers. They got up there first, and we didn't have a chance. What are they doing? I wanted that. So then Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the nations exercise lordship over them," and that lordship is kata exosios, downward. Okay? "And the great ones exercise authority over them," and the great ones are what? The religious leaders. Oh, the first one is kata kurio, and the second lordship is kata kurio, and the next one, authority, is kata exosios. Okay? Now notice verse 26. This is the key. This is the key. "However, it shall not be this way among you. But whoever would become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever would be first among you, let him be your slave." That's the opposite of a hierarchical system. Can that system work? Of course, that's the one that Jesus set up, is it not? Yes. "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." That is a key thing. What is the governmental structure within the church? Now, in a corporation, you must have organization. You must have lines of authority. In the church, we have Christ who is the head, God the Father and Christ in us by the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, all are subject to, all brethren, all teachers, all elders, and those who serve in a capacity of teaching always have to serve, not be served, and not lord it over the brethren in such a way as to give this kind of thing. I am a minister. Who are you? You know what the answer is? I'm a begotten Son of God. That's who I am. Who are you? And yet, how many people were duped into that? Think of that. Think of that. See? All right, that's why. Now we've talked about James and John. Let's go back here to John 21 and let's look at Peter. And if anyone is stupid enough to believe that Peter was the first pope and went to Rome, then you have to prove by history that all Italians are circumcised on the eighth day, because he was an apostle to the circumcision. Now let's read it here. Beginning in verse 15. And I think it's interesting that in all probability the apostle John added this chapter after Peter had died so as to not embarrass him. Verse 15. Therefore, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to them, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Next question is, in the sermons and Bible studies and lessons, is the teacher, the minister, or pastor, or evangelist feeding the flock? Are you being fed the Word of God, or are they talking about the glories of their corporate organization? Verse 16, he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. How do you shepherd the sheep? You go out before them. You lead the way. You care for them. Remember about the 99 that stayed, and the one that was lost went out after the one, right? Yes. Now, every once in a while, you get some goats in there, and they run off on their own. There's not too much you can do about them. However, on the other hand, please understand, there are some who are good goats, because goats were used as sacrifice, as was the animal sacrifice looking toward the sacrifice of Christ. So let's go on, verse 17. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Now, where in these two examples that we have covered in Matthew 20 and here in John 21, do we find a hierarchical setup? And I know someone's going to say, Ephesians 4, Ephesians 4. All right. Well, let's turn to Ephesians 4. Let's see how Paul listed these things. Okay. Ephesians 4. And then we will take a look at how Paul considered himself. And he was perhaps the greatest and worked harder and served more people than probably any of the other apostles, including Peter. All right, Ephesians, the fourth chapter. You know exactly where I am going, okay? Verse 11. And he gave some as apostles who were to serve. Didn't he tell them? you are to serve. He also commanded them, go into all the world and teach all nations. They were to preach. Yes. They were to carry the authority of Jesus Christ, not their own. And what is the authority of Jesus Christ but the truth of God and the Spirit of God? And for brethren who are in the church and have God's Spirit, how much authority needs to be exercised over them? Very little, because they are to be taught to live their lives with the Spirit of God leading and directing them, and you don't need to rule over them. See? We'll cover that here in just a little bit. He gave some apostles and some prophets. Now, what are prophets? Prophets are those not foretelling things in the future exclusively, but more foretelling from the Bible the truth of God's word, or telling forth of the word of God. And evangelists. Now, when you go out and evangelize, you're an evangelist. When you're not evangelizing, you're still an elder. So every one of these things are functions, okay? We'll see that in just a bit. And some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. What is that for? Serving the saints, not to rule over. For the work of the ministry, not to retire on tithes and offerings. For the edifying of the body of Christ, which is upbuilding. Now, these are all things that every individual has to evaluate. Whether you are a teacher or a minister or a pastor, or whether you are of the body of Christ, being the brethren. Now, let's read on, okay? Verse 13, who is included in the body of Christ? Notice what Paul wrote here. Verse 13, until we, so he included himself in there, didn't he? Yes, indeed. Until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, and that's what unleavened bread pictures, the perfection of Christian growth through grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Until we come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the fullness, stature rather, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now that's everybody. Have ministers been led astray? Yes. Have brethren been led astray? Yes. Why? Because they didn't follow the words of Christ. That's why. They got all involved in their own importance, you know, and wanted to see who's going to be the greatest. You know, I remember in the large church I belonged to, man, when they finally got completely corporatized, all of the evangelists were paid salaries in six figures. And even some of them were so jealous that they argued with the so-called apostle of the church as to why this man over here, who was another evangelist, had a higher salary than I did. Now, when I say I did, I'm not referring to me. I'm speaking as if I were the person questioning that. And then you want to know why that organization no longer exists? That's one small reason. Okay. Let's continue right on here, see. We are to be perfected in Christ. Just put in your notes there, Matthew 5:48. We're to become perfect as the Father in heaven is perfect. That's a lot of work. That's overcoming. That takes prayer. That takes study. That takes teaching, you see. That's the goal. See, today in the Protestant world, the whole thing is to be churched. Come to the church. Come to the building. Help us with community. Let's build community here. And as I gave in the sermons on the coming one world religion, community is the key where they hook you into it and you're doing good work. Shouldn't we feed the poor? Should we house the homeless and things like that? Yes, but you better have a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ first. Isn't that true? And since they can't teach anything in Protestantism, which then is controversial or doctrinal, they virtually have no doctrines, and Satan has got them hook, line, and sinker. Well, some churches of God are almost like that. All right, now notice verse 14. So that we no longer be children. What did Jesus say of the disciple? It's the sufficient that the disciple become as the teacher. Right? Is that not the goal? Yes. Are we not to have the mind of Christ? Yes. Are we not to understand the Word of God? Yes. So that we no longer be children tossed and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness with a view to the systematizing of the error. That's how the Catholic Church came about. And virtually in Protestantism, outside of the name of Jesus Christ and knowing that your sins are forgiven by grace, every other doctrine comes straight out of Catholicism. Here's the key. Verse 15. But holding the truth in love. All right, that means keeping it. That means obeying it. Verse 15. But holding the truth in love. See? That's for all of us who are we, until we all, see? That's why it's important we have the Bible today. And that's why it's important that we have been able to do the Holy Bible in its original order, and we've corrected all the mistakes of the King James Version, which has led to so many problems and difficulties in understanding the truth. It's been available all of this time. And everything that is known today was known way back when William Tyndale started translating into English. See? Now notice, and may in all things grow up into him who is the head, even Christ. That's the structure of the church. If I do not do what I need to do, and I didn't ask for it. When we first started Christian Biblical Church of God, we had 7 brethren, 3 on the mailing list, and my family, and that was it. And after all the things we had gone through, I determined in my own mind that if God wanted me to serve these 7 brethren, see them safely into the grave, to make it to the end so they can be in the kingdom of God, that was fine. I wasn't going to put myself forward to do anything. But if God opened a way or opened a door, that's fine. But if he didn't, that's fine. And it's still the same way today. See? Exactly the same way today. Same way for all of us, you see. All the elders. All those who help us. See? Notice. From whom all the body, fitly framed and compacted together, by that which every joint supplies according to the inner working of in the measure of each individual part is making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now that's how it needs to be. Now let's see how Peter also learned that lesson. Now let's come to 1 Peter the 5th chapter and see where Peter also learned the lesson. Paul learned a lesson, John learned a lesson, James learned a lesson, and he did go through the baptism. He was beheaded. And likewise with Peter. It is said that he was crucified upside down, probably in Babylon, because that's where he was teaching. And of John was spared, even though he was thrown into a boiling pot of oil and nothing happened to him. Now, 1 Peter 5, verse 1. Now let's see. Peter learned a lesson. The elders who are among you I exhort, even as a fellow elder. So if you are an apostle because you are sent with the authority of Christ, you are still an elder first. So everything listed in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, is a function, not an office. The difference between a function and an office is this. An office is something you hold. A function is something that you do. Even as a fellow elder and an eyewitness of the suffering of Christ and a partaker of the glory that is about to be revealed, feed the flock of God that is among you. He learned a lesson, didn't he? See? Now notice what he says. And this becomes a very important thing. Exercising rulership. No, it doesn't say that. Exercising oversight. That's not ruling in people's lives. That is making sure that everything is done decently and in order. And everybody has a part in that. Not by compulsion, but willingly. Not in fondness of dishonest gain, but with an eager attitude. Not as exercising lordship over your possessions, but by being examples to the flock. And how is someone an example to the flock? By saying, well, when I go to church, I'll make sure I'm an example to the flock. No, it's how you live. Okay? Otherwise, it's hypocritical and pretentious. Just like one great evangelist with a golden voice. Everyone thought, oh, he's a marvelous speaker. But he was a philanderer. And even committed adultery prior to speaking on the Sabbath and then coming and speaking on the Sabbath. And lording it over the brethren. So you see how far things can get carried away. When men get carried away with authority. That's why Peter wrote this here. Notice what we are to look to. And when the chief shepherd is manifested, that is at the return of Christ, you shall receive an unfading eternal crown of glory. You don't have glory on this earth now. Not like the Pope, but I like the picture. Someone, you know, you can do a lot with Photoshop. So someone sent me some pictures of the German Pope, Pope Benedict the 16th. See? And it says, the German Pope has changed the mass. So you turn the page and here's a picture of him. Instead of holding up the goblet with wine, he's holding up a stein of beer. The next picture is, you turn the page, instead of holding up the round wafer, and that's interesting. It cannot be broken. And what are we to do on unleavened bread? Broken bread, right? Correct? Yes. Okay. Instead of the round wafer, he's got a giant pretzel. Okay. So much for the popes. You got to have a little fun with that. All right. Now let's see what Paul wrote concerning ministers. Okay. And showing how the minister should be. Let's come to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. Okay? 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. And Paul said that he considered himself the least of all the apostles, born out of due season. But he labored more abundantly than they. But here in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, let's pick it up here in verse 4. When someone says, I'm Apollo, another says, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? And they were arguing, well, some were of Peter, some were of Paul, some are of Apollos, some are of Christ. You know, is Christ divided? No, whenever you get to following just a man for the sake of the man, rather than for what the man is teaching because it is the truth of God, then you're carnal. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? Who are we? Anybody important? No. Christ says that all the nations of the earth are like a drop in a bucket. So why should people get carried away with an artificial authority that Christ never gave in the first place? See? They are but ministers through whom you have believed, even as Christ gave to each one. See, we are to teach to believe. I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Therefore, now notice this, neither is he who plants anything, nor he who waters, for it is God who gives the increase. In other words, only a vehicle to serve God and serve the brethren. That's what it is. Inspiration and knowledge of Scripture does not come because you are appointed to some high office. Inspiration and knowledge of Scripture comes by prayer and dedication and serving God and connecting the brethren directly with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Notice, see, God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. We're doing this as God wants. But each shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, both the one who is teaching and the ones who are listening. For we are God's fellow workers. God is determined to use human beings. But how then do those men relate to God in their private lives? And you are God's husbandry, even God's building. As a wise architect, according to the grace of God that was given to me, I've laid the foundation, another is building upon it, but let each one take heed how he builds upon it. See? So this is showing how teaching is to be accomplished. Teach the word of God, show you how to live your life, you follow what God says, you believe God, you believe the word of God, and you have a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. You are to be building the things in your own lives as well, see? Because you're not going to be able to point the finger and say, well, the minister said, and Christ is going to say, well, why didn't you make sure that that was according to Scripture? Rather than believing something that wasn't true. Verse 11, for no one is able to build any other foundation besides that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. So if people coerce you to stay in an organization or stay with the church, they've got the wrong foundation. Isn't that correct? See? And if they teach you to rely upon the ministry and not God the Father and Jesus Christ, you've got the wrong foundation, do you not? Yes, indeed. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. And, of course, the first three are improved by trials and fire and difficulties. The last three burn up. So it's incumbent upon the ones who are teaching to make sure that the brethren are able to have the tools to build the gold, silver, and precious stones. And not have a social community and a get-together where you have wood, hay, and stubble. The work of each one shall be manifested. God's going to test everyone. For the day of trial will declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall prove what kind of work everyone's is. That's why we have troubles and difficulties, see? And if the work that anyone has built endures, he shall receive a reward. If the work of anyone is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as through fire. Don't you understand? See, and every minister needs to understand this. See, the brethren are not your vassal slaves. You are the slave of the brethren. Okay? Don't you understand that you are God's temple and that the Spirit of God is dwelling in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God shall destroy him, because the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So then he gives a warning. This is good warning for the ministry. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks himself to be wise in this world, let him become a fool so that he may be wise in God's sight. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he entraps the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, do not let anyone boast in men. That's what it has to be. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours and you are Christ and Christ is God. Where did he say that you stay in this organization? No, he says you need to be connected to Christ and God. See? And isn't that what John wrote in 1 John, the first chapter? Our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ? Yes, indeed. All right. Now let's go on in chapter 4, because this tells us an awful lot right here. Comment was made that if you go back to 1 Kings 13, God told the prophet who was going to witness to Jeroboam that he was not to eat, was not to drink, he was to go to Bethel, witness to Jeroboam, and then he was to return a different way. He was not to stop. He was not to eat. He was not to do anything except preach what God said. So he went and preached what God said. Then a false prophet came along and said, well, I'm a prophet of the Lord too, and I had a message from the Lord that you can stop and eat with me. No man can change a command of God. You understand that? And what happened? He died. That's a good lesson for all of us to learn, see? Every one of us. Paul understood this. Here, chapter 4 and verse 1. So then let every man regard us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. A steward takes care of someone else's property to be honest, to be faithful, to increase the value of someone else's property. Okay? And we all belong to Christ. Isn't that true? Yes. Beyond that, it's required that stewards, that one be faithful. But to me, it is insignificant matter that I'm judged by you or by man's standard, and neither do I judge myself. Now, I am not conscious of anything against myself, yet I am not justified by this, for the one who is judging me is the Lord. Therefore, do not judge anything before the time. Wait until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the motives of all hearts, and then each shall receive praise from God. Then he goes on saying here, verse 6, this becomes important. Now these things, brethren, I have applied to Apollos and myself for your sakes, that in us you may learn not to think of men beyond what is written, so that no one among you is puffed up on behalf of one of us against the other. And puffing up is vanity, right? Yes, indeed. For what makes you superior to others? Or what do you have that you did not receive? And if you also received it, why are you boasting as if you did not receive it? And so that's the way we need to look at what God is doing with us and for us, see? So you have to look at those things. And then you have to ask the question, do they really teach the way of God according to the Scriptures? All right? There are other things you can add to it. Do the brethren love each other? Do the elders love the brethren? All of those things are visible fruits. So, as we have covered here concerning Satan and his way, we also need to realize that within the Church of God, we need to be aware. Read 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Look at the troubles that were there. See? Now today, with the whole Word of God, we're able to go ahead and be alert to all of these devices of Satan the devil. And this is what we need to do. Let us all grow together in love, in knowledge, in understanding. Let us serve God in truth and righteousness. And so this is how the Church of God needs to be. Don't let Satan get a toehold or the nose of a camel under the tent and begin to change things from within that are not according to the Bible. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.